It's called Marcy's Law. It's a proposed constitutional amendment that would raise the rights of criminal victims. And I want to thank four advocates for Marcy's Law for joining us for this Newsmaker show. To my left is Attorney General Brad Schimmel and Terry Jendusen-Nicolay, Chairwoman, Marcy's Law for Wisconsin. Kira Dameron-Stein has told her story of being a victim, and Republican Senator Van Wongard is a sponsor of that. So thanks very much. Constitutional amendments are important. Well, all laws are important, but this is a constitutional amendment. Let me ask a threshold question. Why is it needed? And the background is we adopted a constitutional amendment in 1993 on victims' rights, and then we were the first state to pass a Crime Victims Bill of Rights. So why Marcy's Law? Do you want to go first?
Here? Sure. Marcy's Law, first of all, let me say Wisconsin does have a really good tradition of being in the corner of victims. This is just the natural next step, I believe. What we are doing is taking their statutory rights and just raising them. So victims have rights equal to those as the defendants. They're not the same rights, but they have their own rights, which are equal, equally powerful as the defendants. It gives the victims a voice in the courtroom, and I think it makes them feel more powerful, which is very, very important.
Thank you. Kira, any PS on that?
I guess I would agree with Terry that I think Wisconsin does already have some things in place that provide a safety net for us victims to come forward when we are violated by a perpetrator. This is the next step. This is making us as victims confident enough to come forward with our stories and know that we are at that same level in the courtroom, in the proceedings, in the process, which is really important.
Thank you. Senator, you have experience as a Racine police officer before you retired. You're a little different perspective. Why is this needed, sir?
Well, with 30 years of law enforcement experience, I actually ended my career when a fleeing felon hit my squad car and caused me an injury that forced me to retire from law enforcement. So I was a victim, and it was a whole different situation as a victim as it was, in applying the law for that 30 years in my career. Victims are so important to this whole process that they need to have the same level of rights that the offenders have. When an individual, by constitutional law, has constitutional benefits that they are not guilty until they are proven guilty, this will not affect that, won't change that at all. What it'll do is it'll raise those statutory elements of those statutes that have come into place since 1993. It'll raise them up so they become part of the constitutional protections that we give to the victims. So for me, it's very, very important that the victims have a voice and they have the ability to have closure with what caused the event to happen to begin with. And I've been very blessed to work with my colleagues here and the Attorney General to make this happen. Brad has been such a great advocate to help be the tip of the spear for us in Wisconsin here to help educate our other legislators and other individuals to the necessity for this.
And General, before you were elected Attorney General, you of course were Waukesha County DA. So you brought that perspective to this issue. So can you answer the basic question why it's needed, sir?
Yeah, I was a frontline prosecutor for 25 years before becoming AG. And we all want safer communities. But I'll tell you from experience for law enforcement and prosecutors, we cannot make our communities safe from criminals. We can't hold them accountable, and we cannot hold criminals accountable unless crime victims are willing to come forward. And a crime victim doesn't want to come to court. And frankly, they're the only person in the courtroom that didn't make some choice that brought them there. They're forced to be there. And we need to treat them with dignity and respect, and they need to have their rights respected in the courtroom. This is, as Terry said, it's the natural next step from the great steps that Wisconsin's had in our proud tradition respecting victim rights. This is the logical next step to take those statutory rights and make them constitutional in nature, to put them all in one place, to elevate them all to that level, to clarify what the rights mean, and to expand some of them. For instance, right now, crime victims have the right to be heard at sentencing. And that's it. Beyond that, they can be denied that right. Marcy's Law would give them the right to be heard at every stage of the proceeding, like the bail hearing. You want to talk about the most critical time and the person with the most critical voice. a sexual assault or domestic violence or stalking or human trafficking victim who has a strong interest in what happens with that offender at that bail hearing. And right now, they have no right to be heard there. This gives them that right. Marcy's Law does it.
Thank you. You're getting into a point I wanted to come back to. Help explain to the viewers why criminals have more rights than victims right now. I mean, you got it started, but what else is involved? Because that's kind of a concept that I don't think, quite frankly, most Wisconsinites are aware of. So,
I want to make something clear, that Marcy's Law does not in any way diminish the constitutional rights
Correct.
Of a criminal defendant.
Thank you.
This harms no one. It elevates the rights of the victim. The victim's rights cannot supersede the rights of the defendant to be convicted pursuant to the Constitution, pursuant to their rights. We just are moving the victims up a little closer to that.
And up means what? Now, you gave one example too. Right now, they can speak at sentencing, but under Marcy's Law, they'd be able to speak at bail. Excuse me. What are some other examples?
Well, I'll give you one more example. They're in the preamble to our current Bill of Rights, it talks about a right to privacy for victims. The Supreme Court looked at that and concluded that's not really a right, that's just kind of a theme. Marcy's Law makes clear that the victim's privacy rights are an important constitutional right, such as the right to not have your private records grabbed by the defense attorney. Obtained by the defense attorney and shared with the defendant. There are things that, you know, in a counseling session, we want that victim to go get counseling to try to deal with what's happened to them in a healthy way. But if they know that the defendant's going to find out their private thoughts in that counseling session, they won't get the counseling or they won't cooperate with the criminal justice system, and then we all fail. This makes clear that the judge has to give due respect to that victim's privacy rights.
Terry and Kira, is there, without getting into too many details of how you're victimized, do you want to talk about if Marcy's Law is law, how you, if it happened to you, how it would play out differently and the difference it would make to you emotionally? You don't have to share too many details of that.
I guess for me, I have since, as part of my process of recovery, reached out to the prosecutor in my case, who was a district attorney in Portage County at that time, and she has told me that she had a double-edged sword when it came to my case, because I was not only a victim who wasn't seen as an equal, but I was also a child. And so as far as the court system was concerned, I had almost nothing to do with my case. I had almost nothing. And so I feel, looking back on that, my case was pled out, and so we never went to trial. And the judge looked at me and said, I believe you. I believe your statement. I know that what you're telling me is true. If this had not gone to a plea, he would be getting the full sentence. Talking with the prosecutor, she said, with that double-edged sword, she felt like, to protect me, she did a plea bargain in an effort to protect me from him, because he was my father, and so he had access to the time I was in a foster home. So he knew where my foster parents lived. He would call them. He would call my school and ask my teachers. He was still very much involved in my life, even though I was a victim and should have been protected from that. The system didn't do that, so she as a prosecutor felt like she did the best thing that she could for me to protect me where the system did not.
Kira, do you think Marcy's Law, once it gets on the books, would wall off you from some of these examples that the criminal here, would you have been walled off from some of the access that your violator had?
You know, I think, like all legislature, this is the start, and we're going to see, you know, as it becomes something, changes will be made and adjustments will be made. And this is the first step to getting to a point. So can I answer and say, would my case have been different? Would things have been different? I don't know. However, I do know that the respect in the courtroom and some of the things that do come with Marcy's Law would have given me an opportunity to be present. It would have maybe enabled, although they were afraid of me testifying, so maybe with Marcy's Law, there would be an alternative to me having to be present in front of him. Situations like that, Yeah.
Thank you. And yeah. Terry, would your case have been much different with Marcy's Law?
I would say my case at the county level would have been different as far as he had a plea. I was very upset about that because I was told there were 100 pieces of physical evidence. There was so much overwhelming evidence that there was no reason to do that. But because the child I was carrying died because of my situation, they wanted to look back into any record I ever had in my lifetime, if I ever had a miscarriage, and you know, anything like that, bring everything up that has nothing to do with it. And they said they didn't want to murky any waters. So I didn't feel very well served at the county level. In my situation, he was charged federally with federal crimes, and that's where he got the sentence that he deserved. So I really had no say in what happened at the county
level. And Marcy's Law would give you a say.
It would give me more of a say, and the judge would be able to hear me out more.
Do these cases ring a bell with you when you were a police officer, Senator?
Well, one thing I have to say is Racine County, Kenosha County have been very aggressive in working with victims and witnesses to protect them and to work with them. As long as I was a law enforcement officer, our DA always pushed for enough funding and resources to be able to provide those services to victims and witnesses. But the way that our laws are set up, when we're looking to arrest people for issues that they've violated, so they're the alleged criminal, and we have those federal protections that they are innocent until proven guilty. Isn't it just kind of assumed that, well, we're going to take care of the victim, you know, because they've been victimized, or, you know, and we're going to care for the witness to make sure they're not intimidated and that they don't feel, you know, that the system is using them and that they're going to feel confident to come forward. Well, that's not happening in a lot of cases. So what's happened is Wisconsin felt that this was so important back in 93. That's why they came forward with so much emphasis to actually put this into our state constitution, the beginning of those victim witness protections. So all we're doing is adding to that, and I see this, and this is one of the reasons why I've been an advocate, that when this legislation came forward, I gladly authored it because of the fact that this is so impactful on closure. You know, these two young ladies here had something just horrific happen to them, and they need to have the closure to be able to be a part of that process that deals with the incident that they became victimized from. And I think by allowing that to happen and saying that you have the ability to ask to be present at this hearing or that hearing and actually be there and be heard, whether it be in person or it be through a teleconference or something such as that, this bill allows for that. And yes, this should be in concrete. This should be, these victim witness rights should be in concrete. And the way we've written the statute is to allow for the state statutes to still continue to tweak what we're putting into our constitutional law. But this will give it a basis, you know, to be able to really make that happen.
A quick follow-up question for you as a former officer. Would it change how law officers conduct investigations and arrests, Senator?
I don't believe it would in the area of the state I'm in.
Okay.
Because I think that our officers, for the most part, our training is to work with the victims and the witnesses to make sure that they have confidence that they're going to be heard and that their names and their information is going to be protected. But if the law's not there to back that up, even if that's what I'm going to try to do as the officer, if I don't have the law to back it up and it gets to the courtroom and they're going to want records way back when for Terry from, you know, all of her phone records and who she's talked to and her health, why should all that information that has absolutely nothing to do with this case and her being victimized all of a sudden be a target for the offender to muddy the water?
How much more workload, how much more change procedures for DAs, General? Well,
these changes are all, the changes that Marcy's Law will bring are things that affect what happens in the courtroom. The DAs and victim witness professionals in the DA's offices are already doing the things. We're taking, a lot of what's happening is we're simply taking rights that are statutory rights that the DA's offices are doing already, and we're elevating them to a constitutional right. So they're happening already. This discussion would not be complete without reflecting on the courage it's taken for Terry and Kiara to be advocates for this. Their cases are done. Absolutely. Things happen to them that are unimaginable for most of us, and many of us would have a hard time getting back up off our knees after that. And both of these strong women are here advocating for other victims in the future to make their lives better. And I just, we have to give so much credit to them for their courage and their strength and stamina and sticking with this.
Thank you.
I understand the dignity issue. I completely get that. But we three have covered, worked in the Capitol for a little bit. And the Capitol, one of the questions is the additional costs. Now, you're well aware of the issues over funding district attorneys, and mm-hmm. you're well aware of that. Is there, will this mean higher costs in the criminal justice system to elevate the rights of victims like Terry and Kira?
I honestly do not believe that it will be.
It won't?
And
it creates things like
putting their right to restitution as a constitutional right. We already seek to collect restitution for crime victims. We have those things in place. We passed already in the last session laws that provide that victims get their restitution before government
first,
agencies
correct.
Can take their fees. I think Senator Weingard led
that
led on that. thank you. And they can use the tax intercept system through the clerk's office.
Yes.
We've done these things already. That right to privacy we talked about, that doesn't require anybody to expend any more money to be respectful of the victim's rights to privacy. We're still going to have a hearing on whether those records get released. It's just now the judge has a higher standard to consider when considering whether the victim's privacy right, where it weighs against the defendant's right to a fair trial. Other things we provide in here is that a crime victim has the right to be represented by counsel in the courtroom if they choose to do that. It doesn't say we have to give them a free attorney, but they can have an attorney represent them, and they can have an advocate with them. Doesn't cost us anything more. The right to be present and have a voice, okay, their bail hearings might take a little longer because the victim wants to be heard at the bail hearing. Some costs we should just absorb. And if it costs us a little more time to do that, we should do that. They should have that right to be there. To be able to refuse invasive discovery requests, that doesn't cost us anything.
But that, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a source of some opposition here. Testimony from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign calls that provision, let me try to explain it, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not an attorney. The Wisconsin Democracy Campaign has a provision, says Marcy's Law would have a provision that would blatantly violate the U.S. Constitution. That provision says that a victim has the right to refuse an interview, deposition, or other discovery request made by the accused or any person acting on behalf of the accused. This would violate the Sixth Amendment, which says, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to be confronted with the witnesses against him. And the Democracy Campaign, this is not me saying this, it's Democracy Campaign, would run afoul of the Due Process Clause of the Fifth and 14th Amendments. Final sentence I want to read, get your response.
Brad's already ready. I can see the look on his face, because if he's not, I am.
If a defendant and the defendant's attorney cannot confront their accuser, then this fundamental right of the accused goes right out the window and the defendant cannot get a fair trial. Okay, Brad.
The right to confront your accuser is in the courtroom at the trial. That does not, under Wisconsin, you don't have the right currently to do depositions in a criminal case. And right now, any citizen has the right to refuse to talk to anybody.
Correct.
A defense attorney, a police officer, a prosecutor, you can refuse to do that. Now, if they refuse to testify in the courtroom, well then, yes, the defendant could have his rights to confront his accuser denied, and that would result in the state being unable to go forward with their case. But that's not what Marcy's Law does.
Okay, you don't see any potential constitutional violation.
I don't
you have
either.
A P.S. on that, Senator?
I just want to say that, you know, Brad is totally 100% correct that this is in the courtroom. You don't have a right to confront the individual at the time of arrest or during the interview process or the investigative process. That's not going to stop. Those officers are still going to collect data. The investigators are still going to investigate. The DA still has to review his case or her case. And you know what? If the victim doesn't want to testify and the judge can't force the victim to testify, then there's no case. The charges are gone, probably with prejudice under that situation. Right. So the victim or the witness in court will testify to the elements that are necessary to prove whatever that charge is. That doesn't mean that all of a sudden the victim, some woman who's been raped, now is going to be victimized how many times because she has to give up all of her personal records and everything she's done for the past 10 years and go through a definition process before it even gets to the trial process? No, that makes absolutely no sense, and it's not part of our law today.
I want every crime victim watching this to understand, if a defense attorney shows up on your doorstep demanding to talk to you, you can tell them to get off my property,
and that doesn't affect
your case at all.
Exactly.
The right they're claiming there doesn't exist.
Does not exist.
Okay. I want to ask Terry and Kara this. The recent unfortunate publicity about sexual harassment, sexual assaults by entertainment industry, news anchors, politicians, do you think this makes the case even more for Marcy's Law? What are your feelings?
I would say probably. I think it would help true victims come forward and get some justice that way. When victims see that everyone is on their side, it's much easier to come out. It's much easier to come out and tell your story.
At least the system's not stacked against you.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think that true victims will be able to come out and will be able to tell their story and will be able to seek justice. Yes.
It's never easy in the situations that we've seen come up on the nightly news lately with some of these people that are in positions of power. I think that you're still going to have those kinds of situations occur because there's a person that's powerful over somebody that is basically, they're using that power to their advantage for those negative purposes. But I do agree with Terry that now if they know that it's equal, and that we're putting ourselves out there and saying that, you know what, victims have that right to be heard. They have that right for respect. These are just things that are in our heart, or they should be, that we should be doing. And this is why it hasn't really come to light, because we should be doing it anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I think when people understand that we're really serious about that, Wisconsin was the first one to codify our victim rights into our Constitution. That's what Wisconsin's about. We're about fair play and a good process, and we're about, we want the playing field to be level.
Terry and Kira, when other victims of crimes come to you one-on-one and say, what difference would this make in me telling my story? How do you answer that? Kira, your thoughts?
Yeah, I guess, I think that a lot of times, as Terry said, people don't want to come forward because when all of your personal information, it's almost like the victim becomes the person that's on trial. We have to work twice as hard to prove that what happened to us happened to us. And having Marcy's Law in effect would encourage us to come forward, knowing that we have a team of people that are there to support us, that are there to be respectful of us, that are there to make sure that we get equality. And I think back to what you said about some of the stuff that's coming out in the news. Yes. I think we also live in a day and time where you're seeing it all the time. You're seeing victims come forward. And so it's kind of like a change in society that these are things that we are okay talking about now. For so many years, it wasn't okay to talk about sexual assault. It wasn't okay to talk about domestic violence. And so it's become a forefront and center issue. And with that, and with Terry sharing her story, I admire her tremendously. It has helped other people step up and say, me too.
There's unquestionably a portion of what we're doing with Marcy's Law that is symbolic. It is sending a message to crime victims that the system isn't going to start with an attitude against you. Mm-hmm. And that's I think that is what we're seeing. I hope this is a watershed moment in American society, that as all of these people are coming forward to report harassment and sexual assault by people in power and prominence over them, and they're coming forward, and America's reaction isn't asking, what were you wearing? Why did you go to their apartment? Were you drinking that night? Isn't your memory sketchy? Haven't you had other boyfriends? Whatever the case might be, they're not asking that question. They're asking instead, what's wrong with the person that did that? Mm-hmm. And that's an important symbolic moment that I hope that people who have suffered abuse and harassment are seeing and maybe considering coming forward because of that. And I think Marcy's Law has the same kind of symbolic effect that we're saying as a state, we demand that the criminal justice system treat you with respect and dignity, and we're going to watch out for your privacy rights.
Terry, as chairwoman, when a victim comes to you and say, why should I relate what happened to me and allow someone to go through a fishing expedition through all my past, how do you answer that? No. Why should I do that?
Number one, for me personally, I would tell them because, you don't want what happened to you to happen to somebody else. I mean, that's paramount. They continue to get away with things like that. You don't report them. They're going to go on to the next person and do the same thing. And we're going to find this person is going to assault, you know, six people before somebody finally speaks up. So it might be painful, but it is very important that they do come forward to stop this behavior. Next time it's going to be somebody else's daughter. That's another reason why it was very important to me to speak out and say, this is what's happening. This is what's happening, not just with me, but in our state, in the nation, there's a lot of domestic violence going on. People have to know that they can come out and speak about it to change things. That's very important. And I wanted to say something else you were talking about. The victims need to know that they're not going to be victimized again going through the whole court system. I mean, we do a very good job in helping them and you know, seeing justice be done. But during the system, you can even say, you do sometimes feel victimized again, just like with me. You know, in your entire life, have you ever had a miscarriage? Have you ever, you know, done that? And it's like, what does this have to do with the case? Mm. And it says nothing to do with it. Now, a criminal can come before the judge, and they won't talk about anything that he's been arrested for before, right? Maybe the jurors won't even know things that he's done in his past. But all of a sudden, everybody knows the victim's life since the day she was born. So we're going to change that to make that person not feel victimized again by the system.
Okay. And just one other quick thing.
Sure, Senator.
That the individual that is the victim, if they don't want to share specific things with the court or with the investigator, they can petition the court and the judge can order things to be released that are pertinent elements to whatever the offense is. So, I mean, it's not like the victim can just come in and say, hey, I'm not telling you anything and we're going to find this individual guilty. The court can order depositions to occur with specific guidelines or that specific things be turned over to the defense for exculpatory purposes. All that stuff should be going to the defense anyway. So we're not stopping any of that from happening either.
Well, as someone who's been a journalist for 48 years, does it do anything to the, not the rights, but the practices of journalism and access on some of these crimes?
I don't think it does.
When I looked up who's in favor and against it, there were no
I don't think it does anything on the news side of things. Okay. I mean, you'd still have to go through the same requirements that it's got to be pertinent, you know, for the release. But
in the courtroom, there may be less private information of crime victims that becomes public as a result of this.
Correct.
And that's a good thing in my book.
Okay.
That's stuff you wouldn't print anyway.
And, you know, we've talked a lot about victims, and these two women were once victims of crime. They are unquestionably survivors now and no longer someone you'd call a victim. And Marcy's Law is about turning crime victims into survivors.
Good call.
We're almost out of time, so let's talk about the process. When you amend the Constitution, it has to go through the legislature in the same form once, go through the next legislature, which is 1920, pass again. So when is the earliest? And then the third part of the process is a referendum goes before the voters. So when's the earliest that people would have a chance?
So floor period in 19, this would be presented again in both houses. With the overwhelming support we have, I don't see that it would not go through again with that support. And then I think it would be probably a referendum in the spring of 19.
Spring
would be
19?
Very possible.
Right. That's
sound right, Terry?
Yep.
That'd be the earliest.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you all for telling your stories. Attorney General Brad Schimmel, Terry Gendusa Nicolay, the chairwoman of Marcy's Law for Wisconsin, Kira Dameron Stein, and Republican Senator Van Wongard. I want to thank you because the term is survivors, right?
Survivor.
For you two?
Yes.
Thank you so much for a very informative show.
Thank you.
Thank you.